Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
I want to thank you for joining us this morning. We're in the midst of studying family relationships. Certainly the family, as God would have it to be, is being challenged, is being destroyed in some instances by those who work for the devil and rather than for God. We began our series of lessons 2 weeks ago, and our first focus had to do with the responsibilities of a man as a husband. We saw very clearly that the Bible teaches what the man should do so that he could live with his wife in happiness and in a way pleasing to God. Certainly the Bible teaches us everything that we need to know concerning the relationship that God established to cure the lonesomeness of man. We see in the account of creation in Genesis where every day after the creation of certain things, God would look and he would say, "That's good." After the creation the sixth day, he looked and he said, "That's very good." It's interesting to note in the first part of the book of Genesis that the first thing that God saw that wasn't good was the lonesomeness of man. God, in his perfect wisdom and all knowledge, fixed that problem by causing a deep sleep to fall on Adam, taking a rib from his side and creating a woman, creating Eve to be the helpmeet of Adam. I want you to notice that Eve was not created from the head of Adam nor from the feet of Adam, but created from a rib, which was the side of Adam. And thus, man and woman, husband and wife, walking side by side, are very important in the quest of happiness and eternal security in the life of man trying to be pleasing to God. If you would like a copy of those lessons concerning man's responsibilities as a husband, just go to our website. That's www.montevistacoc.com. That's www.montevistacoc.com. When you get to the website, it will be self-explanatory on how you can order DVDs of those shows or any of the archival shows that we've presented over these airways. There'll be no charge at all or obligation for those DVDs. We'll get them to you just as promptly as we can. Before we begin considering the role of a woman as a wife, I want to take this opportunity to personally thank you for coming and supporting our gospel meeting, which just closed two nights ago. We sat at the feet of Brother Roger Schaus from New Albany, Indiana, and considered some very basic topics that God would have us to know about that really affect our life. In fact, one of those lessons had to do with the marriage and the responsibilities of the partners therein. We got to meet a lot of new people that week, people some of whom heard about the meeting on the radio and came to visit with us. And we're just so pleased that you accepted our invitation, and we hope that you'll check out what you heard in contrast with what the Bible teaches, and that you'll pay a return visit to us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, and that we'll be able to study God's Word together. You know, the great prophet Isaiah, as we said at the very outset of this show, said, "Come, let us reason together." Certainly we want to reason with you to come to a conclusion, as God would have us to do, over what he would have man to do to be saved. With that in mind, now I want to consider with you the role of a woman as a wife. The meaning of the word wife is weaver. The wife weaves the strands of love and femininity, of respect and attractiveness, of commitment and loyalty, of purity and spirituality into the marital relationship, and thus a resultant happiness that is beyond that which is found in any other physical relationship. The wife is one that gives the marriage strength and beauty and happiness. The concept of a husband and wife is used to describe the church in the Bible. The church is described as the bride of Christ in Revelation 22, verse 17, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, Ephesians 5, verse 23 through 33, and Romans 1, verse 1 through 4. The importance, the critical importance of being a good wife is outlined in Revelation 19 and also in Revelation 21. If you're searching for physical happiness, there is no better way than to be the right kind of wife in a relationship that has the right kind of husband. Before we get into our lesson, I would invite you to turn to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And though it's sort of a lengthy reading, I'd like to consider with you verses 23 beginning through the end of that chapter. It's sort of a focal text for our lesson today and, Lord willing, next week. There in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 23. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church, he himself being Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Paul goes on to say that this mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. With that in mind, I want you, first of all, to, with me, identify God's first rule concerning the responsibilities of the wife, and that is to honor and to give respect to her husband. Again, Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The wife's manner of life, according to 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, is to be coupled with fear. That's not talking about the kind of fear that comes from mistreatment, the kind of fear that would drive one away, but the kind of respect about which we see God speaking through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5. The wife's manner of life, her very being, is to be coupled with that respectful feeling of her husband. 1 Peter 3 and verse 6, Sarah, that hero of old, exemplified such respect by obeying Abraham and calling him Lord. That is not to call him Lord with a capital L, but Lord, giving him respect as the head of the family. The very opposite of that attitude was displayed by Michael to King David. In 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, verse 12 through 23, you get a pretty clear picture of that kind of disrespect that was evident in that marriage. In a marital relationship, women demand love. It's their right to demand such. And men demand respect, and it is their right to demand that also. Without the love that women demand and without the respect that men demand, both will be destroyed. There are some ways that a wife manifests her respect for a husband that would be important to our study today. First of all, she does that by fulfilling her obligations in the home. In Titus, the second chapter in verse 5, the Bible says, "Be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored." It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter what the end thing is in the workplace. I know of instances where a husband and wife decided because of various talent levels that the husband would stay home and be the homemaker. The wife would go and be the breadwinner. Well, I guess that's okay from a physical standpoint. The problem is it's diametrically opposed to the marital makeup that God gives. You can't do that and please God. If you want to please God, you go to God's instruction, that book called the Bible. Find out what he says with regard to the roles of the husband and the wife, and that should be which directs us in our life. Once again, Titus 2 and verse 5, in directing this to the ladies, to the wives, Paul wrote, "Be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored." There are those that ask the question then, is it okay with God if the woman works outside the home? When the answer is certainly, we know by the study of the 31st chapter of Proverbs that the woman worked outside the home and was very pleasing to God. But yet the primary responsibility of the home is the woman's. It is not the man's. The upkeep and the maintenance of the home is the responsibility, according to God, Titus 2 and verse 5, of the woman. A woman also manifests respect for her husband by being in subjection to him. Again, Ephesians 5, verse 22 through 24 teaches that very clearly. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, subject, head of the church, and thus the wife is subject to her own husband. The wife honors her husband by wearing his name." In Genesis, the 5th chapter and verse 2, we read, "He created them male and female, blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created." Notice he didn't call them womankind, he called them mankind. A woman, as a wife, manifests respect for her husband by avoiding public criticism of him, by displaying those attributes that are found in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 5 through 7. If you have your Bible, let's turn together to that text, a text that gives us the Bible definition of love. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 5, and talking about love, let's just back up and start with verse 4. "Love is patient, love is kind, not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." And then the crowning glory of that passage of Scripture is found in the first part of verse 8. "Love never fails." If you want a love that never fails, make it up of the component parts that we read about in that passage of Scripture. By avoiding criticism, the wife honors her husband, shows a love to her husband. That's not to say that there aren't times when that criticism isn't well deserved by the husband. Certainly it is. But a wife honors her husband by not making that public. A wife honors her husband by refusing to compete with him, refusing to dominate or overshadow him. It is a fool that is the man that thinks that he's better in everything than his wife is. I think sometimes that the wife is better in more things than the man is. The competition between the two really provides no impetus to happiness, provides no impetus to being closer to the way God would have the relationship to be. Just refuse to compete with Him. A wife shows respect to her husband by never doing those things that result in him being henpecked. Realize that the husbands build their self-image by looking into a mirror that is shaped by their wife. You are so important in the relationship to your husband. How he sees himself is attributed more to how you see him and how you treat him than in any other phase of his life. Well, a second divine instruction to the women as wives is to submit and obey your husband. We already read Ephesians 5, verse 23 through 33, but also consider, if you will, these scriptures, Colossians 3 and verse 18. Consider 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. Consider 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12, Titus 2 and verse 5, 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 and verse 5, and 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 35. The subjection to husband principle predates sin, goes back to the very creation of man and woman. 1 Timothy 2, verse 12 and verse 13. Genesis 3 and verse 16 is an important passage for our consideration. The submission grows out of her submission to Christ, the woman's submission to Christ. In fact, I think it well that we could call it a byproduct. The more a wife submits to Christ, the more the wife will submit to her husband. Romans 6, verse 16 through 18 teaches very clearly that principle. That's Romans 6, verse 16 through 18. That submission that the woman has to Christ will allow her to easily give the submission that is required for her husband. Paul is very clear in his writing in Ephesians 5, verse 23 through 34, that it's no more seemly for the church to assume headship over Christ than for a wife to assume headship over her husband. You know, one of the ways the devil works is to take those things that are sinful and make them look inconsequential by assigning to them cute little catch phrases. You hear them all the time. You hear people say, "My wife runs things in our family and I bring home the bacon. The wife wears the pants in my family. Oh, I wear them, but she tells me what pair to wear." Well, all of those kinds of things just are little feel-good phrases that highlight the kind of relationship that God detests within the marriage bond, in the marriage relationship. Concerning subjection, we need to know and we need to understand very clearly that subjection does not mean inferiority. Children are subject to their parents, but certainly they're not inferior to their parents. They have a different role. Look at the value that's given to man by God, but yet man is inferior to God spiritually, but made by God. Interesting, isn't it? In many ways, the wife is superior to man. She's prettier. She has many times better skills. She's more durable. I live in a retirement community, and the females outnumber the males significantly there. The woman is just more durable than the man. Her individual happiness is inseparably attached to her submission to her husband. When we lose our life to Christ, we find our life for happiness. The same principle applies in the marriage relationship. Augustine once wrote, "An obedient wife rules her husband." The more lovely the wife is, the more lovingly submissive the wife is to her husband, the more loving and understanding and tender and considerate the husband is to the wife. Rebellion against God's order produces a husband that neither the wife nor God can ever be happy with. Failure to submit to her husband produces either a tyrant or a passive nonentity, and neither is the kind of mate that you want for happiness. Subjection does not mean that the wife can't share in decision-making or in the discipline of children. Certainly she can. Any husband that is smart enough to come in out of the rain knows that on major events of life, he should take into consideration the feelings and the input that his wife gives before making those decisions. But if a mutual decision cannot be reached, the wife is to respect the wishes of her husband. Let me just give a little caveat there. Certainly, we understand that decisions made by the husband that cause the wife not to be able to serve God are not the kinds of decisions we're talking about. The rule is for mankind to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's Matthew 6 and verse 33. And we have example after example in the New Testament of the men of God putting God before the affairs of life and the dictates of even the rulers within this life. And a husband, while he has authority within the family, cannot make decisions that would cause the wife to sin in following those decisions. So when we talk about the wife submitting to the rule of the man, to submitting to the final decisions of the man, we're talking about those decisions being consistent with things that are pleasing to God and not displeasing. When a wife wants to work outside the home, and those things are discussed, and the husband continues to feel as though she should stay at home and be a force there and rear the children, and all of the things being considered, when the decision comes and there's still varying opinions concerning it, the man makes that decision. Subjection is limited, though, to not conflicting with the service of God. You can find that further discussed in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 13 through 15, Acts 5, verse 29, Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39. Francis Quarles once wrote a little article, a little ditty, I would call it, that I think is pretty important to our thought process in this lesson. He wrote, "Ill thrives the hapless family that shows a cock that's silent and a hen that crows. I know not which live more unnatural lives, obeying husbands or commanding wives." Well, that's what we're talking about. Talking about the roles of husbands in the family relationship. Talking about the roles of wives in the family relationship. God-given roles. Roles that are meant by God to provide happiness to the man and the woman as husband and wives. That's about all the time that we have for this session. I thank you for listening. We have much more to consider concerning the woman's role as a wife, and Lord willing, we'll take that up next week. I want to invite you to come and to worship with us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. We're located about a mile and a half from Sky Harbor Airport. We have a bunch of people down here at Monte Vista that are friendly people that would just love to meet you, that would love to sit down and open the Bible with you, to learn what God would have us to do to go to heaven. I believe that you can come and visit with us without feeling threatened. We certainly try to make you feel welcome. Let me tell you that if you come, bring your Bible, open it and check out everything that you hear at our congregation. Assure yourself that this indeed is the kind of first century Christianity that you can read about in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Well, I hope you will come and take us up on our invitation. Until next time, I pray that we will have unusual opportunities to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening. Oh, so
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.